Father God, we're just standing this morning believing, Lord, that you're able to do all things. Help us, Lord, never to take anything for granted, but to realize, Lord, that you are everything. We come before you, Lord, and ask forgiveness from our failures this week, our trespasses, our failures to worship you and love you. Lord, help us this morning to get one step closer to you, because you can restore. No matter how low we are, Lord, you're the one that is our trust, and not we cannot look ourselves. We look in our sacrifice. Thank you for the miracles that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for this young man to be able to come back. Lord, glorify you. These things don't just happen, but it's you, Lord, that controls all things. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for bringing safe back the Washingtons, Lord. Praise that your spirit may rest upon them. The rest of the people, Lord, just be with each one of us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Could have been the house of the Lord this morning. I was studying more and more, and the Lord's willing, I'll be gone for a few days traveling. Remember me in prayer. I'm kind of weak, but the Lord is strong. Do you know that? The Lord is strong. I know the Lord has something for us, and I'm looking forward to when I get back. Seems to me that I have a tremendous pressure in me to get closer to Him, to raise above everything, and to come to the place to serve His people better. That's what counts, you know. And I know the Lord will do that for me, and I appreciate the mercy and grace of God. I will continue on that restoration. And when you look at restoration, it's a mystery. And last week I was, we had some rabbits running around here, and there were some bushes down there close to the trees. There was nothing left. There used to become about 4 or 5 feet high, and everything was dead, and it seems to me like there was no life in them at all. And I felt the branches and they were dead, so then all of a sudden I see a little green leaves start coming from the bottom, probably might be about 2-3 inches down there. And although the branches were dead and everything, that tree started restoring itself. And I said, where did this life comes from? Do you know? And I cut all the branches around it, and then I put a piece of wire around them, because we have wild rabbits running from outside, and you cannot control them. You dig up a hole. They'll dig up a hole and come into any place they want to come. And they have a feasting time here, because there's some new homes built here. So every morning when I go for a walk before sunrise, you can see them running in everybody's yard, eating their flowers and everything. So the people have no control over them. But when I saw that, I says, praise God. I says, God restores His church and individuals. Because the church of God are people with many mistakes, should I say. They're up and down. Sometimes you feel there's nothing to show, nothing at all, like these little bushes that surprised me. I wouldn't believe that there was life in them, nothing at all. It was my mind that just take a long rope or something, tie them around and tie it behind the car and pull them off and forget about it. But when you see that little green leaf coming up, you know there's life down there. And the same thing with Christians and the church. When you see that, you don't feel anything. You look around you and you say, well, I don't feel that there's nothing left in me. It seems to me I'm so down. But remember, the life of the Word is in you. And still the conviction is in there. And still the praise of God is in there. You say, but I make so many failures. I say, praise God that reveals to you your failures and to go on with Him and restore yourself. So when we look at the message of restoration is a mystery to me, because there were so many things said there, and I was reading the last portion of what the tape Brother Branham was preaching, and he said this. Now listen closely on paragraph 312. Now there was four death messengers. Four death messengers. There was four death messengers killed that tree. He continues. Is that right? What was it? The palmer worm, the locust, the canker worm, and the caterpillar. Is that right? Four messengers of Roman devils, dogmas, killed the tree. One took the fruit. One took the bark. One took the leaves. And one took its bark. He says, one took the life. Is that right? Four messengers or dogmas killed the tree, all but the root. That's where the life is, right? All but the root, he said. Listen now. And if four messengers of death kill the tree, four messengers of life restores the tree. He continues on the next paragraph, short one. He says, he said this. Do you get it? Amen. For God said, I will restore it, refers to the second chapter of Joel there, of course, you know that, Joel 2:25. He's going to restore it. How? By four death messengers kill it, then by four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. What the Word, he said. Now, what I like to do, there's so much there, and you realize that's an ocean of material. He refers, first of all, now, the restoration of that tree, that's the church. The church has gone through a terrible time. It was the martyrdom. People were killed. They asked them to deny Christ. Mothers, they killed their babies. They killed them. They killed husbands. They killed wives by the thousands, by the millions. There's a little book that we published with a Luther story, which was Smucker's The Glorious Reformation. I think probably I will reprint it, just a little booklet of Smucker's Glorious Reformation. In that time, you see, there was fear. There was nothing. You couldn't assemble yourself. You couldn't glorify God. You couldn't do anything. Just everything inside. Everything was, you look at the church, the way that it was, we don't know what we have. We're able to come and worship God. We're able to sing. We're able to cry. We're able to have a time with the Lord anytime we want to. You can come here, every family here has a key of the place. You can come anytime, day or night, and cry and weep before God. It's up to you. So there's no restrictions on that. But God now makes something here, and God is going to restore that tree. And in that tree, the root was not touched. It's all but the root. And God is going to restore it. I like that because there's only one church of God. You don't forget about that and plan something else. There's only one church of God. God is going to restore it. And God will restore you and restore me. And that's what we're living now in, a message of restoration. That message of restoration is to bring us back to restore the life of everything that was lost in that tree. Now, in Joel, the second chapter, the 25th verse, we read this. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God is going to do something. And if you take into your mind, we have the beginning of the Reformation. And you say, what is the beginning of the Reformation? Is it something that everybody's going to shout, everybody's going to sing? No, no. Everybody's going to turn to God. That's the key of the whole thing. And God selects man to do these things. And we know Luther, what should I say, the reformer or the leader of that Reformation. A strange man, but God had something for him. But we look sometimes at Luther's work, and we don't realize that somebody put a platform up for Luther. Do you know that somebody that put a platform up for Luther? That was Savonarola. Jerome Savonarola, S-A-V-O-N-A-R-O-L-A. Now, Savonarola, a great man of God, I believe that the man was born 1452. I think if you calculate the years, you find 30 years difference between him and Luther. The man starts studying the scriptures very, very closely. And when he starts studying the scriptures, he starts realizing that God was moving in him. And you know, when God moves, nothing can stop it. When God is in you and deals with you, nothing is going to stop it. So he was studying, and he started really getting to, not by the merits of intercession of the saints, he said first. You know, that, to say that, was death right then. And the people started getting a hold of the message that Savonarola was giving. And Savonarola now starts proclaiming the truth, not by the works, not by what we do. He said this, not by the performance of good works. Listen to what he said. Only by the grace of God and justification through faith in the crucified Savior. To say that, to stand at the time before the Reformation, remember, you are in trouble. And he got in trouble later, but God was with him. Now, to my opinion, I believe the man was a prophet. That man started getting the confidence of the people. And he started talking to them about salvation through the blood of Christ, and not by works, not by the church, nobody else. At the time, Alexander the Sixth tried to convince him to become a cardinal and give him the red hat of the cardinals. You know the ceremony that the Catholic Church comes and gives you for a cardinal, the red hat? Listen to what he said unto him. He answered to Alexander the Sixth, and he said, I desire no other red than that of the color of the blood of the martyrdom. These people had something in them. They didn't accept a message. The Christ, the living Christ, was in them, and they were able to stand for Christ. You know, it's not put your name on the book. That's put your life down. That's it. This great man. The Pope tried to ask him to go down there, ask him to come and see him. You remember, Savonarola was a monk in northern Italy. And today, if you travel and you go to Florence, you find a little copper plate about probably 6 inches, maybe 10 inches by 10 inches square. He says that's where Savonarola was burned at stake alive. That's where they killed a man. The Pope tried to get him, and then the Pope started putting pressure on him. And Savonarola prophesied. He said to the Pope, thus saith the Lord, before the end of this year you drop dead. And the Pope did. The power of God started getting manifested to restore now that tree that was destroyed all the way to Reformation. And I think it's a study that we should watch. You should go through justification, through sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the last days. We should do these steps, study them. It's work, but praise the Lord for the work. But it has to be done. Now, in 1492, Savonarola the people start fearing God and repenting before God. In 1492, he asked the people to have a big bonfire and burn all the articles he told them about luxury and vanity. And they got together in Florence. And you know, if you know anything about Italy, it's known by the art, Michelangelo and so on, the artwork. And you know about the festivals that they have. They brought there every custom that they had or the festivals that they attended. They brought all the instruments, remember this, that they used to play for the world. They brought them, all the instruments, right to that bonfire. Customs, everything, pictures, artwork, some of it's naked and so on. They brought all of it and started a big bonfire. And they burned everything. It was a big thing going. And then they marched down the street singing praises to God through Florence. By that time, the Reformation was ready to start. Nobody can stop the fires because the people, no matter what they are going to do to them, the strength of the Holy Spirit was so strong in them that they can just stick their neck up and say, cut it, I don't care, I'm with Jesus. You know, these people pay a price, right? To us, a little thing happens, and the first thing we do, we just scream out. He says, not me, somebody else, you know. Just forget it. But they pay the price of the cross, these people. Now, the worst that they hated Savonarola was the same order that he was with the Franciscans. And that's who was his worst enemies. And his enemies going to kill him and decided to burn him and destroy him. Now, Savonarola, in the 1498, May 23rd, after he was tormented, he was burned, he was hung up in a pole, and he was burned because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has done some great works. Some of his great works, the Triumphus Crucis in 1497, he wrote. And there's a piece sometimes people think now, when I'll be going to have a service Wednesday night, and then I'll be doing a couple, 3 days' work at Princeton University. I'm searching for manuscripts, and I'm looking for them. I'm looking for something now that Savonarola put together in prison. He put an exposition of the 51st Psalm, written in prison, but not completed. You know what Psalm 51? It's the one about David repenting before God. I'd like to have that. And if I get it, you want a copy? You can have it. That's what it is, right? You know, it's nothing. I got it, nobody else. No, if I can't get it. Now, in that work that you see there, of Savonarola, he never finished it. Before attained, he says, the doctrine of justification by faith, on that account, which Luther took from Savonarola and printed in 1523. So Luther saw justification by faith before his birth even. The Savonarola was setting a platform of reformation. So when Luther saw the work of Savonarola, studying the life of Luther, it's good for us sometimes to touch just a few points of history and see what's going on. At that time, we know Luther that was born in around 1483. It's 30 years between him and Savonarola, approximately. On July 17th, 1505, Luther entered the Augustine convent. He became a monk. After he went to school, we know that he wanted to finish his bachelor's degree, work his master's, and then work for his doctorate. He decided to become a monk. He enters to become a monk. You know, when a soul is searching for God, when a calling is upon a man, you do a lot of things. You try to find where God is. And sometimes you think God is not there, but God can deal right there. If we look sometimes what Luther has done, we say, what did he go to a monastery for? What's wrong? What's the matter with him? But the man of the convent now had the greatest influence upon Luther was a man by the name John S.T.A. UPITZ. He was a monk also. And that monk in the monastery now, Mrs. Straubitz, showed to Luther the way of true repentance and faith of the crucified Savior. You know, God permits things, right? God can use somebody to prepare somebody. There are many people that they follow the truth outside artificial, and there's a lot of enthusiasts that might bring a true believer in. You don't even know what they're going to do, and they can be lost. Many times I have seen that. They'll bring a believer, and they're gone, out in the world. And the believer goes on with God. They're gone. They don't know what to do. So now Luther started learning from this man, Staupitz, the true, Luther describes it this way, the way of true repentance and faith of the crucified Savior. You know, that's the complete plan of salvation. Am I right? Not the church, not the priest, not the pastor, not the bishop, no man but the crucified Jesus. That's how our Reformation started. Then we continue after his experience. Luther starts studying the Bible in another way, he said. I'm studying the scriptures in a different way than ever before. He starts seeing now the light of the cross, what God has done. Now, in still there, remember this, under all these things, you see, so often we see God is moving, and because somebody is not the way we are right away, we cut his throat. We see sometimes a babe in Christ, and we witness to them, and we say, brother, this and this and that, and the person is moving closer to the Lord. But some of us are so impatient, if you don't understand the seals, if he doesn't understand that, you are not in the message, you are lost, get lost, and so on. No, it's salvation by the blood of Jesus that saves you, and not the knowledge of how much message you know. So Luther now, he was ordained in 1507 as a priest. He took a journey to visit Rome. In his whole trip that he was traveling, Luther said this, there's something speaks to me every minute that go around. He tried to travel. Traveling at the time was not with a plane or even with a train. He said, I travel. I imagine a horse or something going on. He says, there's a voice speaks to me. And that voice said to me, the just shall live by faith. Here is the foundation of the Reformation. It's not my works. It's not your works. It's not how you and I were doing. But it's the finished work of Christ at Calvary. If I look at myself, you look at yourself, we are sinking. If you keep on looking to Christ, you go on. That's the key of the restoration. And Martin Luther never looked behind. Never looked what the rest of them were saying. They called him fanatic or anything. Martin Luther was keep on going. Why? The Spirit of God was so strong. You see, there are people who shed their blood for that Reformation. And one of them, the greatest leader, I believe, in church history, that set that platform, it was Savonarola. And Luther acknowledged it. And print his works after the death of that man. Because he realized that man had something to say. Now, these kind of things, we should have them. Don't you think so? These kind of things. Now, to me, people say, you're going to spend 3 days until, if they close sometimes somewhere, they close 1 o'clock in the morning, the library. If it's 24 hours, you're going to spend 24 hours? Yeah, I'm going to spend 24 hours. Because I'm looking. And I'm doing research. And I know that's their place. Princeton University has it and so on. I'm a guest and I realize all this. But when they open the door to me, do research as much as you want to, I says, praise God, I want to find out where I'm coming from. Where the Reformation is coming from. And what it means. Because people today, listen to this. I know I'm jumping ahead, but listen to this. The fruit is the seed carrier, the life of what's in the root. You see, fruits don't grow in the sky. It grows on trees. And people today say, I accept, I'm the fruit, without even being born again, to go to see that justification by faith. They don't even know what you're talking about. See, as a true believer, all the people said, I'm a fruit, I believe in the message, I got the Holy Ghost. No, no, brother. It takes justification. It takes sanctification to clean the vessel for service. It takes the filling of the Holy Ghost to fill that vessel. And then service to God, which is the Word itself. That's the footsteps. And that's the problem today. When we go and analyze at the end, or probably the study, and I don't know how long the study is going to go, when you go and analyze, you'll find out that people today claiming to be the fruit with no life in them. Completely hybrid, you know? Everybody is this and everybody's that, but remember, let's don't claim what we are. Let's thank Jesus what He is. And that's where we go. And He paid the price for the redemption, the removal of sin, and He answers prayers. You know? We had a testimony how God brought that young man back at home. Do you think that's an accident? No. God hears prayers. The big question is how much we acknowledge what God is doing. God is manifesting Himself. I believe in this hour amongst us, God is dealing with our loved ones. And so the distance with the loved ones becomes more narrow and more narrow, more narrow. The people know, the people looking at you, looking at me. He says, there's something that I'm missing, something that's happening. What is it? What is it? What do they got? But let God reveal it to them. You and I can reveal nothing. But let's take them to the life first of the cross of Calvary. That's salvation. Some of them think they are saved, but let's make sure that they are saved. Now, when Luther saw that, he said, the just shall live by faith. And that started the Reformation. Now, look where we're going now. If you look, the just shall live by faith, very easy, our minds can travel in the wrong direction. But we have to look at the Scriptures. That's the only source of life. Last few weeks I have been pretty bad shape in me. And this is from the new Bible that I received, they put out. I think of it, they destroy everything. To me, what it means is like somebody takes the Bible away from you and gives you any kind of a book to change it around, pervert it. That doesn't destroy only the Scripture. Destroy the works of this great man way back there that I wrote about the Scriptures. Because you look at your Bible, if it doesn't say the same thing, you say, I don't understand it. What is it? And if the lotteries, in a few years, will be the same thing. The people will read anything you can imagine. You see, they don't care about anybody right now anyway. So give them a little more time. There won't be any foundation, any place to put their finger. That's what God said. Because man has changed it, has perverted it. To me, it's stealing the Bible away from the people and putting another Bible that's not a Bible. That's what I see. Now, when you look at the promise, and now Luther and the Reformation start, was based on Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians 3, the 11th verse. Of course, let's go on the 10th verse. For as many as are of works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which have been written in the book of the law and do them. The 11th verse. But he says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. For the just shall live by faith. Remember, it speaks about the just. I'm not talking about now salvation by faith. I'm talking about restoration doctrine, straight restoration, because there's a difference. To understand this, let's say you and I go to the hospital to visit somebody, a man or a woman. The man lays there, or the woman, and with the last breath, ready to die. There's nothing left. somebody comes with a medicine. And he says, this is the medicine. If that man takes that medicine, he's going to live. Now remember this. It doesn't create a new man. It restores the man that's dying. Listen to what the scripture says. This scripture is a restoration scripture that the doctrine of Reformation started. It says the just, in other words, that man is already have the life of God in him. You say, Brother Dave, what about salvation? I believe in salvation by faith, but now it says here that person is already just. He's already have life in him. And what happened? The life is deteriorated completely and goes right to the bottom of it. And all of a sudden, somebody comes, he says, because he is just, he shall live by faith. Pretty simple, right? It's not the message to be saved. I'm not in Romans. I'm on Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11, he says, the just. In other words, that person is justified already. And he's deteriorating. He has no strength anymore. He cannot live anymore. Listen how it puts it. He doesn't say, I'm going to give a new life. No. He didn't say, now I'm going to be saved. No. This is a message of restoration. The just shall live by faith. What is that future tense? The Reformation started and more is to come. Because that faith is building up to the life and the relation of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother David, you say the just shall live by faith? Yes. Listen how he compares it. In the previous verses, he speaks about the law. And in the law, remember, legalism will take you nowhere, will kill you. Because you read the law condemns you. The law condemns me. Have you ever had that experience? You hate yourself. You say, why I'm like that? Why I want to do that for? I shouldn't have done anything. I should have shut my mouth. I shouldn't have said anything. Bang, bang, hitting our heads all the time on the wall. You say, I cannot do it. Why? The law is the revelator of sin. It tells you, thou shalt not kill. You kill, you are guilty. Because what? The law reveals it. But when we talk about grace, it's not only, you don't throw the law away. The law still reveals, but grace gives you the power to overcome the demands of the law. So look what happens now. You see, I don't have any life in me. I just cannot take it anymore. I just give up, you know. You know, we know how to shout and glorify God when everything goes all right. When problem starts, one hits the next. And you know, normally problems are developing continuously. When it hits you one, the next one comes, the next one comes. By the time you get through, it's like sitting in a boxing ring. And they hit you, they hit you, they hit you more and more. Because it says, how much I can take anymore? I can't take it anymore. But now you say, now, God tells me His word not to do this. But it seems to me I don't have the power to stop lying. To stop, do that. Where is that power? Grace comes along and he says, now look, God has fulfilled it because he came down in the flesh, went to Calvary and fulfilled all the demands of the law. So you say, he did? Yeah. So now faith comes along and rests upon what Christ has done, and by that faith, the power of God that comes in you to rest upon Christ. You don't even realize it, but that faith comes in you that you overcome the problem. No matter how much you go to beat up yourself, it takes the power of God to overcome it. Now you say, Brother Dave, what's about salvation? I'll get to Romans 5, Romans, the whole book, if we can. But I'm talking about restoration. He speaks about the just shall live by faith. With other words, Luther comes alone to start the Reformation. There were just people that they leave for God. Now, you say, Brother David, now, Luther came around and proclaimed all these things and so on. Now, where do we go from here? Where did Luther get it from? Do you know the prophets spoke about these things? The prophets spoke about these things. And I'll read one, and you read the other two when you go home. If you want to write the three of them down, Habakkuk 2:4. Hebrews 10:38. And Romans 1:17. Now Habakkuk comes alone. And on the second chapter, Habakkuk, the second chapter, and the fourth verse. Listen, Habakkuk now. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. God now takes in the Old Testament and gives a prophecy. Go back to Habakkuk. When you start studying Habakkuk, you find now the Chaldeans start abusing the Israelites. And the Israelites had backslid so much that they didn't know what they were doing. They were in a terrible shape. But in them, there were a few elected people of God by predestination. God foreknew you and me before you and I knew that we existed. Nothing at all. God foreknew you. God called you. You say, I call myself. You call nothing. God calls you. If God hasn't called you, you will never join. You might join a book, but God calls you to give you life. And quite often when God calls us, we feel so pressed, so this or that. We see all the wrong going on. And you know, that's what Satan wants. He wants to show everything wrong to justify yourself of what you are. But if God reveals who you are, then you close your eyes from everything that's wrong around you. He says, Lord, woe is me, and underline it, I'm a man of unclean lips. The revelation of self is a big mystery. The revelation of self shuts you up from every criticism. The deacon this, that, the pastor has done that, brother such and such, sister such and such. Stop for a minute and say, Lord, show me who I am. And now when Habakkuk did that, of course the Chaldeans were in a mess, unfaithful, and some of the Jews unfaithful. But there was a group there among the Israelites that they were very faithful to Jehovah. And Habakkuk goes through his book and says, why this, Lord? Why this, Lord? And God answers him all the time. But if you permit me, let me read from the Septuagint that portion that I just read, that verse, and listen very close to the original text. It says this. Ean apostili, uke behips himon apto. If you shrink or you come back, my soul is not pleased with you. Listen how he continues. O de dikios mou ek pisteos zisete. And the one that is mine, that's just, shall live by faith. The one that is mine, that the King James doesn't have it. See, how did you find that? Ipsi himo en afto. He says, O dikios mu, mine, the just that's mine, shall live by faith. So the Reformation starts, and now God starts moving by his Spirit to start the restoration, to come through the ages, to go to justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all the way to the last days at the end right now. So what do we see there? God has a plan for the right time at the right place. You say, how come Luther in 1500? How come God permitted like that? You see, God knows everything is going to happen. Do you know the printing press didn't start it until 1500? Gutenberg's Bible and so on. I have seen it with my own eyes in Mainz, Germany. It's in a glass case, 1500. God raises up Luther. And what happens? The printing of the scriptures start moving to the people. Correct? The people now having the word. God is restoring now the people. And from that time, 1700s and 1800s were more documents, more materials written about the crucified Christ than any other age and century. Because I don't believe that the books of today, these paperbacks and the trash stuff, have anything to do with Christianity. Very rarely you find one. And if you find one that's any good, probably they took the work of somebody else way before that, and they print it today, they revise it to make some money out of it. So now God is moving. God is ready to do something. The printing presses are ready. The Reformation is starting. You see, God is working like that? Absolutely. He knows what He's doing. So the Bibles are getting printed. All of a sudden, you know, they start trying to look Tinsdale and the rest of them, how they tried to stop them from translating. Well, they were translating. The Bible ready to be printed. The presses were there. This didn't happen 1600. This didn't happen 1800. Happened 1500 when the presses started. So God wants now to restore His people and having the Word of God and nothing else. Through 1500, 1600, the greatest importance, you know what it was? It was the accuracy of the Scriptures. These people went through, study every comma, every word, every punctuation, everything you can imagine. Thousands and millions of volumes were written. Today, you know what we do? We try to change it to conform to the people instead of staying with the Scriptures. If you watch the new translations, it's for the people, they call it. Do you know what this means? They took the spirit of the people and they translate the Bible to fit the people to do anything they want to. They destroy some of the greatest doctrines through the Scriptures. So now we see the Reformation starting. Everything ready. Luther stands up, starts proclaiming the just shall live by faith. What is already just? The trees already have life. Praise God, hallelujah. Who controlled the whole thing? God prepared the road, Savonarola. A monk tried to teach Luther now about the life of Calvary, the life of Jesus Christ and not the church. When Luther had the revelation of what God has done through the cross, he stood up to the Catholic Church. He didn't care what it is. And brought up the people up. God restores you and I. No matter how low we are sometimes. He has the right time, the right circumstances, the right everything to restore us. But let's base our faith in the resurrected Jesus Christ and not look in our circumstances, in ourselves, what we do, how much we fail. Look at the Lamb of God at Calvary. You look at yourself, you have nothing good to look at but a mess. You look at yourself at the mirror. You say, is that me? I'm in a terrible shape. Let God, keep looking to God and keep on going. So now God is restoring. God is bringing up the people. And when we say a restoration, friends, that's what happened at the end. The people don't like the restoration. They think now it's a new God, a new message, a new this, a new that. No, it's not. If you haven't gone through the steps of salvation by the blood of Christ, I don't care how much you are in the message. You are lost and go to hell. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's tough. And I know these tapes probably go overseas. But I don't care. That's for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't compromise with anything. You know, what is today? Instead of salvation by the blood of Christ, accept the message, join the books, know if you could, sit at the pew, pay your tithing. That's all that it is. But I'm talking about eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. So now, we look at Galatians. I think somebody has repeated Luther's work on Galatians, the commentary. Probably can order from the bookstores or something. There are some revisions, but it's not major. Still a good commentary on Galatians. So Luther now says, but no man, says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. The instructions that you get. Brother David, what is instructions? Instructions is what to do and what not to do. You go back to the Old Testament, all these instructions tells you, don't do this, don't do this, do that, don't do that. No matter how much you go to do them, you are no, whatever it is, try as hard as you want to. You are not justified in the sight of God. Because why? You are rest on works and not what He has done for you and I. If you rest on works, then Christ was crucified in vain for you. But if you rest in Him, He gives you the power to fulfill that law. And the Scripture says, but no man, I don't care who you are. You can be a layman, you can be a lady, you can be a messenger, you can be a prophet, anything you want to be. You cannot be justified the way you feel like. You're justified only by God. And what is it now? With other words, now Luther takes that scripture, and that voice was speaking to him, trying to visit Rome. He says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I better get moving where the just shall live by faith. Then he looks around him, and all of a sudden, what all this work's doing? What all these ceremonies? What all these kissing pictures? What all this stuff that's going on? What all this paganism is going on? My Bible tells me the just shall live by faith, right? And you know what? Here is your sign that the people go back to Catholicism. Do you know? You say, back? Yes. I put my name on the book. I belong to church. I'm in the message. I do this. I do that. Build a new church. What happened? They have the picture of a saint or something around in the hell as a circle. Do you know what that is? Go to paganism, the worship of the sun god. Look at these things. That spirit still up on the churches. Look at what they are doing. It's not, you see, you watched the picture of the cloud. It was just a light on the top. It was not a circle. That came out of paganism, worshiping the sun god. So now Luther, that voice is speaking to him, and he looks at the works. He says, you do this for the church, you do this for the church, you do that for the church. Luther says, forget it, the just shall live by faith. If God justify and save me, my faith can rest in one place. That's in the finished work of Christ, and that's what I'm going to be resting to live. Do you know that there are people that one time they came to God, but they lost their faith and they are dead and they have the letter and they don't even know they miss it? They're looking for it. The only thing they rest in past experience. But every day, whatever we do, wherever we go, that life of the Word of God shall be supposed to be so close in us that we walk and we walk in the path of the Lord. You know, we think that things come rocking in a chair. That Prime Minister of Zambia, when he gave his dedication and later on pray about the accident that they had, he stood up and he says, I commit this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. I would like to sit with him and tell him about his prison experience with the Lord. That man had met God. He knew how to pray, and when he prayed, you and I know that he had talked to Jehovah before. It wasn't, let me see this. No, he had talked to God before. The man stood up and he prayed to God. He had met Jehovah somewhere. I would have liked to sit down to tell me what's going on in prison. When God spoke to him, he says, I read my Bible. He says, not just reading the Bible. He said, I want to know what God has for me, he said. You remember the statements that he make? That's what I'm looking. That's one of my lists there. Don't know which one to look first, but that's my list, to look for what Savonarola wrote in prison. I'd like to know, because that man knew God. That man stood up, and can you imagine the people? We are not talking about an issue that they don't know anything about. We talk about Italy, that art and music was flourishing at the time. And these people came over to burn their instruments because they were playing for the devil before. Burn them. And it's not like here today, go and buy a mandolin or something, a violin any time at the store. They didn't come easy. Some of that stuff I come from grandparents for the grandson, all the way down in generations. There were big sacrifices they had done. But now when Luther saw that it's not the works, it's not kissing pictures, it's not making pictures, it's not the saints, but Jesus Christ alone, he started becoming a leader. Because what? Of the Word of God. Because of Habakkuk 2:4. Because of Galatians 3:11. Because of Romans 1:17. Because of these verses, he started reading them day and night. What happened? He was persecuted, yes. And what did the persecution achieve? The only thing that they did to Luther, to get closer to God. That's it. And Luther was keep on going. Did he make many mistakes? Yes. It depends who do you read to write the books. If the Catholics wrote the book to smash him, to smother him, that's what you're reading. But you read history, you find out what Luther was doing. So the Reformation started. How? You take a just person, that there is life in it, and remember, that's why we call it the message of restoration. Why? Because you are restoring somebody that's already just, it's ready to die. Now, don't confuse that with justification by faith. No. We'll go to Romans for that. And we'll find out in other parts, Galatians also. But we're talking about now. Now, listen what happened. When he started now, the just shall live by faith. He knew what the blood of the cross have done in Luther. He knew it. That man that was in prison with Luther, I would say, God bless that man of God. Do you know? I see something, you might like to criticize it. But I believe there will be people around the world that they live the life of the Word in them more than some of the people in the message. And they never heard of the message. But they are responsive of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost speaks to him. They know how to pray. They know how to reach God. They know how to pray day and night to meet God. You say, then what about the message? They believe the same message through the Holy Ghost, although they haven't heard it even. You know? Who went over to convince that man, the ruler of Zambia? Imagine every church in the message wants to have him preach for them because he has something to offer. You know what he has to offer? The Holy Ghost in him speaks. That's it. How many have the backbone to stand up and say what he said? When Carter said to him, you know, you are the prime minister now, he said, you might be tomorrow. He says, you better watch what you say. He said, what's the problem? He says, the Bible is here. Carter's here. Praise God for him. Who cares? God is the God. And I like his humility. I study that. I like his humility. He says, God puts a man up and God takes him down. He didn't say, I'm up. God takes him down also, he said. He rested on Jehovah only, and that's why I like the man. You know, I imagine people will criticize you for calling him a brother even. But you know, to me, he's my brother. That's all I can tell you. I want to go with him to heaven. That's all I care. He's my brother. Now, when you go home, I'm closing. Read Isaiah 30:15. We read this. We read that in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quietness and confidence. Why confidence? Because confidence has faith in it where you are resting your faith on. You have confidence that God will take care of it. You have confidence that God is going to keep you. You have confidence that God is going to restore you. Why? There's something in you that's eaten up, probably destroyed down to the bottom. But God says, I will restore, saith the Lord. That's it. I will restore it. Now, why quietness? You know, sometimes we destroy ourselves. We talk too much. Instead of talking about the Lord, we are arguing about the Lord. And that destroys your spirit. Fenelon wrote lots of works about that. The peace that you find in quietness, in silence. Have you ever been in a city that everything is pushing around, and then you take a trip up in the woods and you walk around and you praise God and you sit there and you look at the birds and calm down, and you know what happens? You can talk to God. You go to work and everything's around you. How are you? What are you doing? Bang, bang, bang. There's no quietness at all. No rest at all. The phone rings. That. In quietness and confidence. Where confidence? In the Word of God. A question that probably something to think about. Faith must have a resting place. That's the Word of God. You say, Brother David, do you believe in the last days, the ministry of restoration? Yes. You know why? It's a progressive work all the way from Luther, Wesley, and so on. You say, why do you believe that for? Because in the Scriptures. I can't put my finger. It says, it's right here. Right here. You know, these old saints, I'm telling you, some of them, I'm reading about a man right now, a reformer. You read a little statement that Brother Branham made. I knew what he was studying. It's not for me to say here. But you read a little statement. You remember he said that Calvin was a murderer? He said many good things, but John Calvin was a murderer? Sure he was. He killed Michael Servetus. And you know who was Michael Servetus? The leading anti-Trinitarian at the time of Reformation. And Calvin killed him. Killed that man. But you know, that little seed always is right there, you know, that God has. You got the whole Reformation, but there were lots of doctrines of the Catholic Church still penetrating there. Penetrating. Until it come to the point that the bride of Christ is supposed to be the Word of God be manifested in them. That's it and nothing else. No matter what they say and do, paganism is far away from it. You know, leave me alone. I'm not a pagan. I got to go on. And by doing that, in this age, you feel different. Why? The Bible that you read, the Bible that you study. I was this morning, early in the morning, I look at Winchell, Guide to Reference, Columbia University, about Oxford dictionaries. There's a desk copy, one volume, that the people can buy when they study King James. You want a word, you have a question, study. Gives you the historical meaning of that word. You'll find out that they have translated everything just right, these people. But our interpretation, like I said before, we take Webster, that's English, American, try to interpret an English translation, and it doesn't work sometimes. In closing, what I like to do, I like to stay on that restoration by justification by faith. You know why? This message is not to the outside world. It's to the predestinated bride that God is going to restore. You say, is that it? Sure. Remember, the just. Not faith will make you just in that case. But the just, the person that's already just, shall live by faith. You say, I don't feel like living right now. Our faith probably is low. You better check the fuel might be low. And that's a study that I'm going to have in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, this coming November, about faith. We're resting on faith. That's it. And in there is a chapter of justification by faith. It's a lot of work. I don't know if I can finish the whole thing that I want to do. But when I do it, you're welcome. If you want a copy, you can have a copy of that outline. Just study. and look through the scriptures, see what's going on. Friends, we have to know who we are. We have to know what the Word of God tells about you and me or that restoration ministry. We have to know that. We cannot just say, he said that, he said that. No, no. Back to the scripture. Somebody comes around and tells you, oh, Brother David, I don't need that. Just a minute, brother. Just a minute, you know. You cannot be sanctified without being justified first. That vessel has to become cleansed for holiness, for service. But remember, it had to be justified first. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, I believe in the message, but are you saved, number one? Are you justified by the blood of the cross? And this is the key of the rapture. The people are going to be surprised. But the scripture gives us the definition of the rapture. You know what it is? If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, will get you up to. This is the formula. Amen? Let's stand. Sing Amazing Grace. Do you love the Lord? The Lord so much there. You go back to church history and you panic. You know, I panic. I cannot handle it. You know what's going on. And like I said, if I can get a hold of that manuscript, I would like for you to have it. That's what I say. And if you never study that Psalm 71, read it and cry. Read it and cry. This morning, my devotions. I know we're closing, but I'd like to read one verse from there. Psalms 51. Listen to what David said. Restore unto me, the 12th verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. With other words, restore it. I had it. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. This is a restored person unto God. Sing Amazing Grace. Brother Gordon will close in a word of prayer. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
That called us, Lord, in this name.
Jesus.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the revelation, Lord Jesus, of your Son. Lord, the
Jesus.
Lord, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
Jesus.
Help us, Lord, as we heard your word this morning, Lord. We're cleansed by the washing of the word of the Lord. Lord, just bless, Lord, your people this morning, Lord. And bless, Lord God, quicken your word to our hearts, Lord. Bring forth fruit, Lord. Lord Jesus, help us this day.
Jesus.
Lord, we would love David as he would travel this week.
Give me, Lord. Give me.
Being spiritually.
Give me, Jesus. Give me.
Lord, that is going out of the
country. Thank you, Lord.
Be with the Durbin family.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Those that couldn't be with us. Just ask you. Thank you. Praise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. May we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.